Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to the Hour of the Time. Tonight is going to be one of those classic broadcasts. Make sure you have pen and paper by your side. Those of you who have computers, you might want to go to the website, look at our lead story there. I think this is probably going to make a lot of waves. Not going to endear me to the meat industry, I can assure you of that. Everybody thinks they're going to lose some money. they don't give a damn about somebody's lives. They just don't want to lose any money. And so I'm compelled to pop a few bubbles tonight, unfortunately. So get comfortable. Make sure you got whatever you need there and a pen and paper and all that kind of stuff, because the Buffalo chip is about to hit the fan. Stop it right now, folks. Before you take that next bite, you had better listen to what I'm about to tell you. This is an exclusive broadcast, January 30th, 2001. Mad cow disease, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, or BSE for short, is in the United States of America. It has been here for a long time. It's not new. It is deadly. And depending upon exactly who I'm talking to, somewhere between 250,000 and 1 million cattle die from mad cow disease in the United States every single year. It is a cover-up of monumental proportions. I became interested in mad cow disease when it became a serious problem in Europe. It seemed very strange to me that a centuries-old sheep disease was suddenly running rampant in European cattle. I stopped believing the assertion that Americans were in no danger when the Food and Drug Administration announced that gelatin, a product made from the hooves and other parts of bovines, could no longer be considered safe for human consumption. And so I got on the phone, and I began asking very pointed questions that made some people very nervous and others very scared. And I knew then that I was on to something big. Bovine spongiform encephalopathy, BSE, is an ancient disease that has historically only infected sheep. Every shepherd is familiar with Scrappy. No sheep has ever been known to survive the disease. The brain of a sheep infected with Scrappy is riddled with holes and looks just like a sponge. The cause of Scrappy, ladies and gentlemen, was a mystery until the mid-70s when Dr. Stanley Prusiner, at the University of California School of Medicine, San Francisco, doing research on the cause of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease of the elderly, discovered the prion. That's a proteinaceous infectious particle, a protein molecule without genetic material that is somehow mysteriously formed from normally benign protein molecules, which are the foundation of all life. Dr. Prusiner won the Nobel Prize for Medicine for his discovery. Prions are the cause of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease of the elderly. Scrappy, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, also known as BSE, or mad cow disease. Transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, TSE, or Downer cow syndrome. And possibly, but not yet proven, Alzheimer's disease. The incubation period in animals is about 5 years, and in humans, around 10 years. The immune system will not, I repeat, the immune system will not attack prions because they are exactly the same protein that makes up the body, only in a malignant form. The disease destroys the brain of the infected animal or human, and it is always fatal. There is no cure. Prions are not germs. They are not bacteria, viruses, or parasites. They cannot be killed by any known medicine. Cooking meat well done will not kill prions. Boiling food will not kill prions. No known precaution or procedure can prevent infection of animals or humans who consume prion-infected food products. It appears, ladies and gentlemen, that the only sure method of killing prions is cremation. The complete and total burning of every single bit of tissue in the body. The Agricultural Department and the Centers for Disease Control of the United States government have issued repeated assurances to the American people that there is no danger from mad cow disease, BSE, and the media has dutifully spread the message. And, according to the example set by President Clinton, they told the truth. Remember when he said, "It depends upon what your definition of is? You see, they have simply used a trick of semantics to lull us into a deadly sleep. No one, until I came along, has ever asked the right questions. After lengthy discussions and a lot of meetings with a few old country veterinarians, I learned to ask those right questions and began to get some terrifying answers. You see, in this country, it is not called BSE. It's not called mad cow disease, even though it is exactly the same disease with the same symptoms and exactly the same result. You see, here in the United States, it is called transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, TSE, or Downer cow syndrome. And depending upon whose statistic you use, it kills from 250,000 to 1,000,000 cattle each year in the United States. So how and when did this sheep disease begin to infect the general animal population and subsequently the human population? Well, folks, the general consensus of learned opinion is that the practice of grinding up animal waste, in other words, all of the things that comes out of the slaughterhouse that cannot be used in human consumption, they grind it up, process it, and then feed it back to farm animals as a protein supplement. And this is how those who tell us that they have the education to be able to tell us this, is how the disease is spread. Cattle infected with mad cow disease began to appear about 8 years after the agriculture industry adopted this practice for supplementing the food of farm animals and cattle. Most all farm animals in most developed nations that will eventually end up on someone's dinner plate are fed with this animal waste protein supplement. My research, ladies and gentlemen, has revealed that it is not just the government agencies that like to play with words. There are an awful lot of people involved in the meat industry, from farms to ranches, transportation, feedlots, stockyards, slaughterhouses, butchers, meat packers, canneries, cold storage, restaurants, markets, and large food chains. How about McDonald's, Burger King, and all the rest of them? None of these people, none of them, wanted to admit to me that any meat anywhere in the United States might be infected with mad cow disease, or even despite the records of veterinarians all across this country, Downer's Cow Syndrome, TSE. But I got to tell you, when the tape recorder wasn't on, I got some startling answers. The latest figures from Europe, folks, indicate that people are spooked. Over there, they're spooked. I mean, this is very serious stuff. And we should have been spooked here a long time ago. The average price of meat in Europe has fallen by at least 25%, and average consumption has dropped 27% just since October, and that's all through the European Union. In Germany, the country that seems to be most spooked by this whole thing, in Germany, two ministers have lost their jobs, with a 36% drop in meat prices and a 50% decline in consumption. Testing and cremation of infected animals has not stopped the spread of the disease. The numbers of infected animals are now so large that carcasses are piling up around crematoriums and the stench wafts for miles upon the breeze. Europe's meat industry is in serious trouble. Prions are known to be spread from cows to their calves in the womb. If that can happen, why not from chickens to their eggs? Now, does anyone listening to this broadcast know exactly how many products that we use and consume and eat and wear and have injected into us come from cows? Are byproducts from the butcher of sheep, goats, cows, all of these animals, pigs, all of them? Are you aware of just how much of our daily lives depends upon these animals? I don't think most people do. What is safe to eat now, and what is not? Are you safe when you go to the doctor and he gives you an injection that may have, as part of its makeup, a serum that came from a cow or a sheep or a pig or some other animal? Is animal waste fertilizer spreading this disease to vegetable crops? How concerned should we be? And who can we trust, if anyone, to answer these questions truthfully? Does anyone have the slightest idea? Thank you. phones are open, folks. 520-333-4578. Prions are actually another form of life. And what Dr. Prusiner did when he discovered prions was actually discover a life form that was never known before. Good evening, you're on the air.
This is Jeffrey from New Orleans.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Hi, the reason I'm calling is to give you some explanations on this mad cow business. First of all, as you know, cows are herbivores and are supposed to eat grass.
That's right.
Here comes the problem. In the 1930s, the federal government passed laws saying that farmers could not feed their cows on the surplus wheat and other grains that they grew themselves, and that if they did so, they would be put in prison and for violating those laws.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the Freemen in Montana were fighting about in 1994-95 when they were arrested by the federal government on that very charge.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here is that the only grains that you can now feed cattle are alfalfa, or that cattle have to be transferred from ranchers to feedlot operators who pile them up in various herds in stationary areas and then have to feed them from troughs.
Yeah, I can never understand how anybody could eat very much beef after watching these animals in these feedlots standing sometimes a foot deep in their own waste and just being, you know, they're not allowed to move very much because that takes the fat off the animal. So they just stand there and eat and eat and eat and eat until they go to the slaughterhouse.
Right, and the result of that is that obviously people try to take shortcuts, and in Europe, where this all began, they made the same mistake that human cannibals make when they put brains of animals into the animal feed.
Not just Europe, Jeffrey.
No,
apparently you didn't know it, but we've been doing it here for many years.
Yeah, well, the Agriculture Department claimed that they stopped it in 1990, but apparently they haven't done it.
No, they haven't stopped it. Not only have they not stopped it, but they even gather roadkill and use in this brew.
Holy smokes. No wonder we've got the potential problem.
Yeah.
Well, I figured I'd call in to let you know that what I knew about the situation, and it has been a long time since I've been able to get to you. I've been watching a series on TV on jazz, which is an unrelated subject. I'll talk to you about that later on another time.
Okay.
Okay, we'll keep in touch.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
And thanks for that coffee and the donut mix you sent me from New Orleans for Christmas. I mean, you know I love that stuff. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, you know, where they have these feedlots, you can smell the feedlot on the highway miles before you ever get to it. And you see these poor cattle standing, you know, in their own waste. It's disgusting. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
Good.
An interesting thing from the biblical point of view, back in the Old Testament, and I will find it for you, it mentions that we should not feed the protein or parts of other animals to bovines.
Yeah.
It's very specific about that in the food laws.
Yep. You're right.
It's interesting that everybody has forsaken the food laws. Everybody calls themselves Christians, but you know, Christ didn't come back to get rid of the old laws.
No, this isn't a religious broadcast.
I know it's not.
We're not going to preach food laws to anybody. They may not belong to our religion.
Right. But it's interesting that we are in violation of a lot of those food laws.
Yes.
They were discovered a long time ago.
Yes, and there's reasons for that. I mean, there's a reason for the proscription against eating pork. Back then,
yeah.
People didn't cook meat very well. A lot of meat was actually raw. And when it was cooked, it was just cooked just barely.
What we would call rare today.
And so they didn't cook meat well. And so they got trichinosis and all kinds of diseases from pork. And so they put a proscription on eating it.
I mean, ever since I quit eating pork about 5 or 6 years ago, I stopped getting all these swelling in my joints and everything. I don't have that problem anymore, and I think it was directly related to that.
Well, it's probably more related to the nitrates that they put in it.
Very well, maybe. That could be. You're right about that. I didn't think about that part of it.
Yeah.
But even eating wild boar and stuff like that, I noticed that problem after I ate it. But, yeah, this is something that I have have come across here in Texas talking to some of my friends in the farming industry. They've mentioned a concern of it, and last year at the farm show here in Houston at the rodeo, there were fellows there talking about it, and some of them were a bit upset that this wasn't a concern or becoming a national concern.
Well, it would have a long time ago, except too many people are involved in this business, and they're afraid they're going to lose a lot of money if it becomes known. And what bothers me is I wonder why they aren't afraid that they're killing people by not letting it be known so that we can do something about it. Mad cow disease is here. It's been here for a long time. Research doctors who are engaged in medical research are now telling me, the ones that I've talked to, that it may be the cause of Alzheimer's disease. They won't come out and say that it will, but they're saying they're finding the same kind of spongy tissue in the brain of people who died who had Alzheimer's disease that they're finding in the mad cows and the animals that have Downer's cow syndrome. Same thing.
And I heard of the other side of the research that they're thinking that, or they're finding out that the hydrogenated food products that we are consuming in mass are replacing the natural oils that we should be getting from the grains and other food sources in their natural form. And they're being replaced by these plasticized hydrogenated oils.
Yeah, but that's a different subject. We're on mad cow disease tonight.
Yeah, that's just another angle to it. But you know, a lot of these people in the industry, they look at the mass of humanity as in the same context as their cattle.
Well, as long as it doesn't affect them or their family, they really don't care. That's how low our morals have sunk.
Yeah.
It's not their concern.
It's about values.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye, Bill.
520-333-4578 is the number. I managed to be able to look at a cow's brain that was taken out of a cow that died of Downer's cow syndrome. And it does. It looks just like a dishwashing sponge. It's horrible. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering if I could maybe get a schedule of your broadcasting.
Go to the website, williamcooper.com. Where did that come from? 520-333-4578 is the number. Unbelievable. 520-333-4578 is the number. Does this shock you? Does it surprise you? It surprised me. It shocked me. And some of the stuff, and some of the people I talked to have found out that I didn't publish in that article because I don't want to create a nationwide panic. Terrified me. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Bill from Michigan.
Hi.
And I wanted to say something on that. Particularly those rendering companies that render all that stuff in those packing or the butcher shops and all that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm speaking just from experience in Ohio.
Experience? You mean you worked in one of those places?
Yeah, I worked for the government. And anyway, I knew some rendering boys that used to drive a truck and they'd pick up all those bones and fat and all that from us. And they also, what a lot of people don't know, like in Ohio, there's 88 counties, and this particular company was out of Columbus. And they would also go to the dog pounds to pick up all the dead dogs.
Yeah.
So they also would go to the state university and pick up anything that they had, like animals, monkeys, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they would all go in with the pork to beef and rendered in Columbus and sent, I think it was to Cincinnati, to Procter & Gamble.
Yeah.
All this stuff is made in the soap. But also, one of the things that I noticed was some of these baking companies, when you like little cakes, particularly in Ohio, there was a cheap 25-cent cake. You could buy it at the food marts and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But in there it said animal / protein, whatever it was. So I'm suspecting that when they rendered all this stuff, cooked it all up, this is like oil, cheap oil they can use.
Oh, yeah. People would be absolutely amazed to know how much of animals go into all kinds of various products that they use every day that they don't even know is in there. And now they use just about every single part of the animal that there is. Nothing goes to waste.
It's like you just grab a bottle of shampoo and look in there and it'll say protein.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. But I want people to know they're putting dead dogs, cats, and it all goes in there.
Yeah. That confirms exactly what I was told when I was making all these phone calls.
Yeah, I used to know those boys. They'd come right out of Columbus and went all over Ohio and picked up every butcher shop, slaughterhouse, anything you want.
That's pretty scary, you know. It makes me want to go dig out that old movie, Soylent Green.
Yeah, it's about what it's coming.
Because I'll tell you what. Some of the things that I heard from people makes me wonder if there aren't some dead humans going into this stuff.
Well,
and nobody ever told me that, I gotta tell you.
That's what I was going to tell you, but I left off on that. One of the boys, he went to a place there in Columbus, one of the major universities, I won't identify it, but he grabbed the barrel, tore it out there, and there was a human leg in it. And the boy came running out and said, oh, well, that's not supposed to go.
Yeah, that's
but
what I'm talking about.
That's on top.
You see, I heard wafts of that in some of the conversations that I had with people.
Yeah. Okay, Bill, I just wanted you to know that.
Okay.
Hope folks know that.
Thank you.
See you, Bill.
That's pretty spooky stuff. It really is. I had no idea, you know. In fact, I was interested in mad cow disease. I wanted to know, you know, how this, because AIDS is from a sheep virus, believe it or not. And now here's this sheep disease in cattle infecting all the cattle in Europe. And I wanted to find out what the hell was going on. Did it have any connection with AIDS virus or biological warfare programs or anything like that? And then when the Centers for Disease Control, but the Food and Drug Administration said that gelatin, a common product that every family consumes all the time in Jell-O, and my grandmother used to buy Knox gelatin and drink a glass of it every day for her fingernails and her hair. When they said that was no longer fit for human consumption, that's when I started this research, and what I found out just chilled me to the bone. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm sorry about that. I was bad recording problem. I just wanted to know if you guys had a website or...
WilliamCooper.com.
Wait a minute, I got to write this down.
WilliamCooper.com. If you can't remember that, then you've already got mad cow disease. 520-333-4578 is the number. It's the same guy. Called it one of the radio schedule. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. I have a couple little questions for you about this mad cow disease.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll answer them if I can. I'm not a doctor, but I've done a lot of research, and I might be able to answer them. Go ahead.
Okay. If a cow is infected, how long does it take before it shows up in the brain?
Well, from what I found out from talking to veterinarians and the people who have been studying this mad cow disease thing in Europe, in animals, there's about a five-year incubation period. It takes about 5 years before there are outward symptoms that the animal has the disease. In humans, it's about 10 years.
So if a person were raising their own cattle, you'd have to wait about 5 years and then inspect the brain before you could eat the meat.
Well, I'll tell you what. From what I've learned, I think it's going to be a cold day in hell before I ever eat any meat again.
Oh. Yeah,
I mean, they scared me. They succeeded. They scared me. I'm a meat eater. I love a steak. I love a hamburger. But I got to tell you, when I did this research, they scared me.
Well, a lot of what you've talked about tonight, I had read about a year ago, except... The only thing that you reported differently is that I had read that cooking it well would kill it.
No.
And it does not.
No. Nope. Does not kill prions.
And this is, I had also read that it's getting into wild animals, that they found it in, like, raccoons and possums.
Yeah, they found it in the wild animals in Montana already.
Okay. Well, that's all I had then.
You know, I could have written a book. On what I discovered in this research, but I, you know, people need to know about it. So I wrote an article and I tried to make it scary enough to make people concerned, but not tell them everything that I learned, so not to cause a national panic, because this is really spooky stuff.
Well, it has me concerned as well.
It's got me concerned enough that I'm, you know, salad, here I come.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, olive oil, salad, beans, you know, those pinto beans looking mighty good to me right now. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, my name's Joe Hankowski from Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, Joe.
And what my question is, exactly how is it transferred from the cows to the humans? Is it a virus or a parasite? Or, and I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay. No, it's not a virus. It's not a parasite. It's not a germ. It's not a bacteria. It's not any of those things. It's merely a protein molecule that used to be a regular... See, protein is the building block of all life. We're all made of protein. And that's what our muscles are. That's what makes us work and all that stuff. Forgot to disconnect it. And so it's a protein molecule that is normally benign and is present in every single animal and person and living thing that there is. And somehow it mutates into what's and becomes malevolent, and it actually begins to attack the body. And in this case, it specifically attacks the brain, and it just bores holes all through the brain until the brain looks like a sponge. And it's a terrible thing to look at. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Grant in Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
I've just been doing a little research on that issue myself, the whole chronic wasting disease and how it came out of apparently a research station there in Colorado that was working with scrapies and then started working with deer and got it into the wild population, and the next thing we know, it got it in elk and deer and everything else. So it's pretty scary to me, too.
Yeah, it's... And the government and all these meat packers and growers and cattle ranchers and everything telling us that it's not here in this country, they're just flat-out lying. It's a lie.
Well, they've lied to us about everything every time there's been a problem, so
yeah.
It shouldn't be too surprising to us. I mean, look at milk, and it's, the factors that,
Yeah, prions can be in milk. They can be in eggs.
Well, yeah, but I mean, also,
chickens,
the milk
everywhere.
Itself has some serious bad side effects.
Well, we're not talking about that thing.
Well, I realize that.
We're talking about mad cow disease.
Well, they're lying to us on all of them, but the mad cow disease, the question then is how much of it gets, in a sense, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it's just back over to soybeans and fennel beans and whatever else for protein, I guess.
Yeah, but you know what? They're grinding up animal waste from slaughterhouses, using it for fertilizer. And there's some people are now starting to ask, hey, if you spread that and it's got prions in it on fields to grow crops, does it get in the wheat? Does it get in the soybeans? Does it get in the pinto beans? Does it get in the cucumbers?
Well, given that those
now I don't know the answer to that. Neither does anybody else. So don't go away from your radio thinking that I told you that.
Well, I'm not saying no.
I'm talking to millions of people, not just you. Okay.
Certainly.
Okay.
Well, appreciate your effort, Bill, waking people up.
Thank you.
You have a good evening.
You too. And thanks for calling. Yeah, folks, when you call and sometimes I make sweeping statements like that, you got to remember I'm trying to educate millions of people, not just you. You might be the conduit by which I'm able to do that through the questions that you ask and the interchange that we have. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. This is Bill from Pennsylvania.
Hi.
Concerning the mad cow disease, I've read several articles where they say it can be transmitted by the use of surgical instruments, dental instruments, blood transfusions, and gelatin capsules, all kinds of anything that has animal products in it.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of medicines and inoculations and shots and vaccinations that all have animal products in them.
Yes, and the Canadians recently killed over 1,000 elk with mad elk disease. And
no, it's not mad elk disease. It's the same disease. It's bovine... spongiform encephalopathy.
Yes, and also found in the deer population. So I think we're in deep trouble here.
See, up in Canada, they're probably telling them, no, there's no mad cow disease. We got mad elk disease.
Right.
Now, and we killed all of them. So you don't have to worry about it. That's how you can play around with words like Clinton. It depends upon what your definition of is.
Yeah.
If you ask the wrong question, then you get the answer, and they're telling you the truth. You can't accuse them of lying if you don't ask them the right question.
Anything for the almighty dollar, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Yeah, that's pretty serious stuff, folks. It's not a joke. It's pretty serious stuff. You know, there might be a lot of people walking around out there infected with this thing and don't even know it yet. Good evening. You're on the air.
Evening, Bill. How you doing?
Good.
Just going to shed a little medical light on prion, or some pronounced prion-based disease. What happens when the prion particle gets to the central nervous system of the victim, there aren't many of them around, but what it does is it acts as a piece of information, and it tells all of its normal protein counterparts in that brain, adopt my aberrant conformation somehow, and they do. So it corrupts the host's native protein somehow. That's what happens.
Have you ever seen a brain that's been infected with it? I got to see the brain of a cow that had Downer's cow syndrome, and it looked like a loofah sponge.
Yeah, I've seen PAP slides taken from BSE patients.
Uh-huh.
But that's basically what that happens. It's, remember the story that Kurt Vonnegut wrote about Ice Nine, the strange form of ice, you know, strange form of water that someone discovered, it got loose from the lab, and all the water on the planet adopted this conformation, and it basically killed off the planet. But sort of like that, you got this proteinaceous particle that's an abnormal conformation, and when it gets around its normal counterparts, it corrupts them. It tells them to flip over, and they in turn do the same thing down the line.
How did that happen? That's mysterious.
It's fascinating. No, I don't think anyone understands the mechanism totally.
Well, they don't, because I tried to dig it out of people who are deeply involved in this research in the medical field, and they haven't got a clue.
It's a form of information. It's a form of signaling and information transfer, and we don't know how it works. It's not alive. It's not a form of life, really. It's not alive at all by the conventional sense.
Well, if it's not alive, how does it do what it does? I mean, they tell me that it is alive. All the people that I talked to said it is alive. They said, in fact, it's an alternate life form, is what they told me.
Well, I think then we're getting back to Bill Clinton. Life, it all depends on how you want to define it.
Well, you could be absolutely right about that. I talked to so many people that played word games with me to keep from admitting or answering the questions that I was asking that I don't doubt it at all.
The final thing I would say about deer and elk and things of that nature, if you've ever been in a state that has a lot of farming and cattle ranching going on, you know, you hang out at a cow pasture after sundown, and, you know, the farmers have the feeds out and whatnot.
Yeah.
And look who comes over the fence pretty soon.
All the wild animals, yeah.
You know, they can't, that's just their life stream. They can't pass that up.
No, it's free food, man.
That's right.
They don't have to work for it. It's right there, just laying there waiting for them.
We'll let you go.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye now.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Bill, this is Gordon.
Hi, Gordon.
Yeah, I'm out driving the truck. That mad cow disease, I've been in the Midwest, the Southeast the last 2 weeks, and all the radio jocks have just been, that's part of their program every day.
Really? What are they saying about it? Because I have
Neil Bortz in Atlanta, he's syndicated now, and
mm-hmm.
There's a guy in Cincinnati on Saturday and Sunday night on the big one, WLW. He's been falling hot and heavy.
What are they saying, though?
He's saying the Cincinnati jock, Bill, I can't remember his last name, is Bill, too, so the Cy Zone on Sunday night on the big one.
Would you please tell us what they're saying? Stop giving us advertisements for their radio station.
Well, I'm sorry. I haven't been able to hear you for a while, so... he's saying he quit eating red meat just some time back when he started hearing about this, and the blood is not good. They're going to start testing anybody coming from Europe that's been to Europe, testing their blood before they can donate blood, and all this. So, this all goes back to what you said a long time ago, and it's stuck right in my mind for damn near 10 years or 8 years. There'll be no meat eating in the New World Order.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to investigate this, because I knew that AIDS came from a laboratory. It was made. It was a retrovirus created from a sheep virus that infected sheep. And so that's how they made AIDS as a biological warfare. Well, I even found the documentation of the funding for it that went in front of Congress. They even told Congress exactly what they were doing. It's right there in the congressional record. And nobody would believe me. And so I wanted to find out if this came from the same place, because I knew, and I've known for many years, that one of their goals is to destroy the meat industry and get rid of the meat industry.
Well, why has Ted Turner got, I think, buffalo herds up in Montana or something, and a killed house and all that for his buffalo? And
yeah, but you know,
he owns half the land, but
he owns the New World Order.
Yeah.
He gave the United Nations $1 billion as a gift.
I know that.
As a gift. He bought the New World Order, man. He's in charge.
I'm sticking my finger down my throat every time I go to Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm just joking, because I know there's some people out there who might believe me, thinking that Ted Turner bought the New World Order and he's in charge. It's a joke, folks. It's a joke. Okay.
Well, there's a lot of other things going on. My company went bankrupt. I was 12 years driving for them. They went bankrupt on New Year's, so I got on with another company now. I'm trying to make it work. I got behind on some bills and stuff. But are you going to let Crusher eat some more cow bones? Or?
Well, I don't know now. I don't know.
That's what I wanted to know.
I mean, you know, I love Crusher. I don't want him to get this stuff either.
Yeah. I don't know if it goes into dogs or not. I think it can go into anything.
It can go into any animal or any human.
I grew up raising cattle, 700 head of feeder cattle, all my life, you know, on the farm, and makes you wonder.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of different additives go into the feed. This is good. This is good from Iowa State University, you know.
Well,
you
see, now they've made the animals cannibals. They take them to the slaughterhouse, and all the stuff that they can't use, they grind it up and put it in bags and send it back and feed the other animals.
They eat their young.
Yep.
Is what it amounts to. Okay, Bill. I'll try to get something to you. I'm gainfully employed again.
Okay.
It's been rough for a little bit.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I gotta make my appeal. Thanks for calling.
I'll get something to you, and it'll be fairly healthy, okay?
Thank you very much.
And I won't send you any steak.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you.
Okay. God, I hate that. I love steak. I just absolutely, just love steak. Well, it's time, folks, to remind you, if you have not sent your donation for January, to do it now, because we're almost in February, and I'm going to be asking you to send your donations for February. Okay, so send your donations now to HOTT, H-O-T-T, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's HOTT, H-O-T-T. In care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Get your donation for January in the mail, and while you're at it, you might as well send February's too, okay? Because it's just a couple of days away. I'm going to start hounding you about that. And unless you do this on a regular basis, unless you tithe for this ministry of freedom, it's going to disappear. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good morning. 35 miles northeast of Sopchoppy,
Florida.
Yes, sir.
What happened to Sopchoppy Dave?
Hey, I don't know. He's probably around. I don't know him. Don't even know where he lives, but he's in paradise, Cooper. He's in paradise. Hey, mad cow disease?
Yeah.
England dropped the ball when they had the chance, but they got greedy. The government let the cattle people overrun themselves. France could have done the same thing. Now it's all over Europe. Now it's over here.
Yep,
and it's possibly the same thing's going to happen here.
The thing that's been keeping it secret here has been greed.
Greed. Right.
People afraid they're going to lose some money.
Better believe it.
So they let people get this disease and die from it.
Yes. Sum it up in two words. Population control.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That's another goal of the New World Order, is to reduce the population. And that's the government's motivation for keeping it secret. That's the government's motivation for keeping it secret. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill, how are you this evening?
I'm fine. Hello?
Hello. How you doing tonight?
Fine.
Okay, good. I haven't talked to you in a while, Bill.
Are you on a roam phone or something?
Yes, sir.
You got a bad connection. Got to let you go. 520-333-4578 is the number. And we don't have time to mess around with that kind of stuff because we're coming up to the end of the hour pretty soon. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. This is Charlie from New York.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi. It's interesting that your topic is what it is tonight because they had a news report out of New York City about a candy, a fruit-flavored candy chew thing.
You know, about 40 minutes after we posted the story to the front page of the website, I found that story.
Okay.
It's a candy that was made with animal parts in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And in Europe, they found out that some of those animals that were used to make that candy had mad cow disease. And so they outlawed it in Europe.
Right.
Somebody shipped it over here, and it was on the counters being sold in New York City.
Right. They're not worried about it. They don't figure it's got anything wrong with it, but they're just letting people know.
They don't think anything's wrong with it, but they're just letting people know.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
By the way, the name of it is Mamba. M-A-M-B-A.
Yeah.
It's like Starburst or something like that.
Yeah.
Fruit chew.
Mm-hmm.
So beware of that, whoever's out there. It was just on the news.
Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. God bless.
Yeah, you just don't know where these animal parts go, folks. They're in things you wouldn't imagine they're in. A lot of you women, you put lipstick on your lips. Well, I'm not going to say it. Good evening, you're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, would you please address the possibility of eating horse meat?
Possibility of eating horse meat? A lot of people do eat horse meat.
Right. Well, would that be an alternative?
Any animal can have mad cow disease.
But our horses generally are not fed, though, animal protein, right?
Well, I don't know. They may get a shot from the vet.
True, but
and that shot may have animal protein in it.
That's exact. True, very true. But the risk, ideally, should be a little less, right?
I don't know. I'll tell you what.
That's something that occurred because we don't, you know, in this country, we don't.
I would be very hesitant to say that from the research that I did, from
really?
All the telephone calls that I made, from the people that I talked to, from talking face-to-face with veterinarians who work with animals every day in this country. I don't think anything's safe.
Really? Well, it's always better to err on the safe side. So
yeah.
Just don't eat the damn stuff, right?
Well, I tell you what, they scared me away from my favorite thing in the whole world is a big juicy steak, and I'm you know.
You cured me tonight, and I bet my kids never get another piece. Thanks, Mr. Cooper.
You're welcome. Yeah, that hurts. I mean, that really hurts. There's nothing I love more in this world than going to a fine restaurant and having a beautiful steak. I mean, it just... Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, this is Gary Stone. Listen, did you happen to read the article by Tom Valentine on mad cow disease?
No.
Did you?
No.
Well, anyhow, about 2 months ago, in the health section of the Spotlight, he copied a story from a newspaper in England. And I don't have it right in front of me, but I'm going by memory now. And he, in this article, they stated that Alzheimer's was suspected as being caused by this spongy form mad cow disease.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, I've heard that from medical experts, too.
But listen
to me. It has not been proven, and nobody knows that for certain yet.
This okay.
is suspected. Suspected means exactly that, suspected.
Right. But they also mentioned about United States running out of flu vaccines in this country, and they bought millions of doses of vaccinations from Liverpool, England, and this is under suspect of being contaminated with this mad cow disease.
Yeah, well, I don't take those vaccines, but I know a lot of people do, especially elderly people, and you got to think about that now.
Right.
Because it's made from animal serum, and it's got
That's
animal
right.
protein in it, and it might have prions in it.
That's right, and I know a man that died not long ago from Alzheimer's, you know. Okay, then.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Right.
520-333-4578. Now, folks, don't go off the deep end. We're not trying to cause a panic here. My name's not Alex Jones, okay? I want to wake you up to the fact that there is a danger so that you can do whatever you believe to be the reasonably intelligent thing to protect yourselves and your family, okay? And at the same time, you should work through political pressure to get somebody to do something about this, because it's dangerous. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Morning, Bill. This is Mike from Houston.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Bill. I'm wondering if your research carried into the possible overuse of beef in the White House in the last 8 years.
Overuse of beef in the White House in the last 8 years? I don't understand what.
Well, it's kind of a joke, you know. Maybe there's a little mad cow disease for what went on in there.
Oh, there's a lot more than mad cow. There's total insanity. There's a whole bunch of immature, stupid, left-wing Marxist traitors with no morals, no ethics, and no brains.
Not at all.
That's what was in the White House.
Exactly right. Trash so, in, trash out.
Yeah, but that's not the subject tonight.
I understand. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number. And we're taking your calls, and we're talking about mad cow disease. What do you think about this? Did you know it already? I didn't know it. I didn't know it was here in this country. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi there, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
Robert from Tennessee.
Hi, Robert.
Oprah Winfrey involved in a legal case against the cattle industry? Did that involve this same condition?
I don't think so. I don't know. I think she... they sued her because she said something on her radio show that they thought was going to cost them money because people weren't going to eat beef. And right. I don't know if it had anything to do with mad cow disease or not.
Right, because I know they were talking about the burgers there. I guess the company was afraid they were going to have to stop selling burgers there.
I don't know what that Oprah Winfrey conflict was. Let them sue. They can sue me all they want to. I don't have anything. I don't own a thing.
Right.
And I've never been so broke in my whole life.
I can understand. Okay, thanks. God bless.
You're welcome. 520. Yeah, they can sue me if they want to. Anybody in the world can sue me if they want to. I don't have anything to give. They can't even. I don't even own my underwear. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is George in Greenbrier, Arkansas.
Hi, George.
I had just got some information here that they've just passed a law here in Arkansas that your children have to be vaccinated with a hepatitis B vaccine.
Well, they cannot make you do that. Nobody can force anybody else to take something into their body. That is the most heinous intrusion that there is.
And then
you have a right to defend yourself against that. That's why the Founding Fathers gave us guns.
And then you know how they sort of wave this thing over your head that your child cannot attend school.
Well, take them out of school. Homeschool them. That's good. The more kids we get out of school, the more children we can get out of school and into homeschooling, the better off those children are going to be.
Keep them away from these contaminated...
keep them away from these Marxist screwballs that pretend to be teachers.
Exactly, and give them a good education.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you for calling. Well, by golly, you just listened to another history-making broadcast of the hour of the time, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you know that, but it's the truth. And so, something for you to tell your grandchildren about. And, you know, take care of your children. Take care of yourselves. Think about what you heard tonight. Think about it long and hard. And before you take that next bite, think about it again. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poon Allison. I love you dearly. Thank you. this wonderful music, folks, is courtesy of Patriots in Hollywood, California, a place where you didn't think there were any. Well, there's lots of them, lots of them. They're on our side, working to help us out. Where this music came from, a gift from their hearts. Appreciate it.